Parshas Nasu Tavshanayim Dalet, it says, the Pasuk says in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, says, by Yavar Shalom Moshe Lemor, Daber O Aaron Vel Banav Lemor, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, Ko Sivorko is B'nai Yisrael. This is how you should bless B'nai Yisrael. Amor Lahem, say to them the following, and then the famous, Yavarech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yavar Shalom Panav Elecha Yishmerecha, Yisrael Shalom Panav Elecha Yishmerecha Yishmerecha Shalom. So here's the first thing, here's how we got to start off. The word bracha is not just a coincidence that it's the word bar-ko. It means that way. Chah-hey means something. It stands for something. It's something real. It's not just a fake and whatever and we're putting it out there. Chah-hey, the word ko, is a famous word. It is what every Navi uses to describe their nebuah. Ko amar Hashem. So says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, who prophesies with the word zeh, because he sees things very clearly. So that's that. If we have a bracha, or we're giving a bracha to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means we're bar ko. We have the ability to get that kafe. And our job tonight is going to be to figure out what does that ko mean? What does that mean that we have this kafe? What is that exactly? The Bala Turin points it out in the very, very beginning. And he says, ko reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of two schuyos of Avram Avinu. Two times where it says the word ko by Avram. One by ko yezarecha, by the bris bein abisarim, when he got the deal that his children were going to be in Mitzrayim, and then they were going to go out and they were going to take over Eretz Yisrael. It says, ko yezarecha, so will be your children. So your children are going to have the word ko. And then he was given a second bracha by the Akedah. He said, me and the child, meaning me and Yitzchak, milcha ad ko. We will go up until there. We will be able to get up to ko. And that's the idea. Yoshua, at the very end of his sefer, says the words, ad ko, barachani Hashem, barachani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blessed me until ko, meaning ko is something special. There's something that I got out of that itself. Now it's really all based in a Bereshis Rabba. It's not just the Bala Turim. Rish Rabbi says, we get Birchas Kohenin, we got the whole bracha of Birchas Kohenin, in the schus of Avram, in the schus of Yitzchak, and in the schus of Yaakov. By each one of them, it says the word ko, by each one of those avos, and because of those three, therefore we're zocher the word ko. Now the Ben Ish Chai says that Chaf Hei 25 is the number of letters in all of the avos. That's what the Medrash is referring to. I mean, if you take Avraham, that's 5, Yitzchak is 4, Yaakov is 4, Yisrael is 5, and Yeshurun, the other name for Yaakov is 6. That's 6 plus 5 plus 5 plus 4 plus 4. For all the mathematicians out there, that's 25. There we go. 6 plus 4. Got it. Now we're good. Good. It's basically. Okay, so we have all together. We're going to have all together those names, and that's going to stand for everything that we have over here. As a side note, by the way, I did fool you. Does anybody want to count them up again? Count it up. Abraham is 5, right? Yisrael is 5. 5 plus 5 is 10. Yitzchak is 4. Yeshurun is 6. 6 plus 4 is 10. So 10 plus 10 is 20. And then comes Yaakov. Yaakov is 4. So it's only 24.
Abraham,
you have to go Yaakov with the Vav in order to be able to get it in. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. I say it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu because you always got to add M1. But I thought that I'd get everybody by adding on the numbers and then go, okay, either way, regardless, that's that. Ben Ish Chai does say, yeah, of course, because he's real quick enough, nobody gets it. Like 6 plus 5 is 12, right? Everybody knows that. So either way, the Avos, those are the numbers that the Ben Ish Chai says over there. Now, what's the meaning behind the Medrash? So there's two meanings that I was able to find. One from the Lev Simcha, one of the Imre Amos' sons of Ger. He says that this Medrash means that each one of the others wanted their bracha to be in the bracha of Birchas Kohenim, that should be included within Birchas Kohenim. Now, he only explains Avram Avinu, but I believe that we can understand Yitzchak and Yaakov a little bit easier as well. Ko is used by all three of them. Again, it says, Ko yezaracha by Avram, Milcha ad ko, we will go together, that's referring to Yitzchak, and Ko somar lebeis Lebeis Yaakov, so it is said to Beis Yaakov by Yaakov. So we have those three that are said about Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So he says, Abraham, it says, Ko Yihyeh Zaracha, that your children should be Yihyeh. Yihyeh is the gotcha of 30. Now, everybody knows the Lamed Vavniks, right? You know the Lamed Vav Tzadikin? So that's not a Gemara. The Gemara does not say there are Lamed Vav Tzadikin. The Gemara says there are 30 Tzadikin that live in Eretz Yisrael, and 15 Tzadikin that are there in Golos, in Babel. So it's going to be 30 and 15. Says HaKadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram Avinu's bracha that they gave to Klal Yisrael through Birchas Kohanim is you're going to have a constant 30 tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael that will always be able to upkeep the world. It will never go away. The bracha of Avram within Birchas Kohanim is that it will always be that you're going to have 30 tzaddikim there, and that's the yi. Thus, Koyia Zaracha was added on to Birchas Kohanim. You should not only get the brachas, etc., and the shmir, etc., it's going to be also that you have automatically 30 people. Yitzchak's bracha, Nelcha Adko. Anybody want to guess what that's referring to? And done with your sheet, because that's going to be much easier. What's the Nelcha Adko? We will go up until here. So that's the bracha that they should all have.
Achtos.
Together. Did I give it away? No. When you have everything together, that Yitzchak Avinu's bracha was that everybody should have Achtos and be together, and that should be added on, that there should be Shalom throughout all of Klal Yisrael, and that was Yitzchak's. Yaakov was Ko Somar Lebeis Yaakov, to treat mitzvahs as if you desire them, as if you want to do them, and not just because you have to, but because you really want to do them, because you really have a drive to do them. That's the idea of how it is supposed to be. So every Birchas Kohanim, you're getting those brachos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they're throwing in, that they're putting inside. That's the word. Now the party's Yosef, and Lechka says that this refers to three different types of people that try to be mechanic their kids that mess up royally. Now tell me if this sounds a little bit familiar to anybody here. There's a person who thinks to himself, I don't have to worry about what my kids are doing. I'm going to be the best person that I can be. I'm going ahead and I'm going to learn and I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to put all my money toward myself. My kids will follow suit. My kids are mainly going to follow suit. I'm not going to put anything toward them. But if they see me, they should be able to follow suit. The guy who says, if I was able to make it, then my kids will also be able to make it. They'll do it because I did it. They can do the exact same thing. That's guy number one. Okay? Guy number two is the guy that says, you know what? I'm going to put everything toward my kids, right? I'm going to put everything to there, but they're mechanic their sons, and they're not mechanic their daughters. They look at their kids, they say to their sons, they want their sons to be tzaddikim, they want their sons to be holy, they want their sons to be in yeshivas, etc. But they look at their girls and say, eh, girls, what's the difference? Which I feel all the time, but I don't say out loud. That type of person who goes around, wait, I still send my girls to school. They're not just sitting around, just cooking. Just. But nonetheless, that's the second guy who goes ahead and says that it's going to be for the sons and not the daughters. That's guy number two. That's person number two. The third one is the person who doesn't keep mitzvos himself, but expects his kid to keep more mitzvos than he does. The type of guy who, and excuse me for giving this, is just the most obvious example. The guy who wants to live vicariously through his kid, so he sends his kid to an unbelievably firm school so that his kids will be firmer than he ever would have been. That type of guy. He himself, he doesn't keep Rabbi Nutam. He doesn't put on a second pair of tefillin of Rabbi Nizam Shabbos, I mean, right? Rabbi Nizam 72 minutes after Shabbos. He doesn't put on his tefillin, but he tells his kid, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do everything else. Expecting the kid to be holier than you and making the kid do things that you yourself never do. In that case, that's three people right over there. So we say all three of them are knocked out by this medrash. By Avraham, we say, that this is what should be for your kids. In other words, whatever you do for yourself, you got to do for your kids as well. You can't expect the kid to follow you without putting more effort or doing something for that kid. You can't just expect it to happen. You have to be able to say, here's what I can do, and here's what I can do to help my kid. That's Koyia Zaraka, that's number one. Number two, for the guy that says that I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to let my kid do everything. It's Nelcha Adko, let's do this together. It says by Yitzchak Avinu, it can't be that it's just one and not the other. You have to work with your kid. If you're expecting your kid to be somewhere, you have to do it yourself. As a side note, this is not part of the share, but it's just it's unbelievable thing. In the Haftorah it says that Manoach's wife, Saul Ponis was her name, she was prophesied by an angel that she was going to have a child, that it was going to be Shimshon, and Shimshon was going to be a Nazir from the womb, right? That was what he said. So Saul Ponis went up to her husband Manoach and told Manoach what to do. Manoach davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Hashem, please send down a Malach to tell us what we have to do. Kasha is, you already know what to do. She was already told what to do by the Malach. What are you asking? The Malach comes down and says to Manoach, everything I told your wife, do. What's the very Kiddush? I mean, why in the world is he saying that? Why did the Malach come again? Just to say, whatever I just said, just do it. That's it. Obviously, that's there. It's such a silly line. What was Manoach thinking in the first place? So the shot is like this. Manoach said, you're expecting me to raise this kid as a Nazir. But I'm not a Nazir. How am I supposed to raise the kid as a Nazir if I'm not a Nazir? How could I do that? If I'm sitting there and I'm drinking wine and I'm going through cemeteries and I'm cutting my hair, how can I tell my kid, you can't? No, there's a Malach that said that you can't. That's not proper chinuch. The kid is going to rebel. How am I going to be able to do that? So what did the Malach say to Manoach? Everything I told your wife to do, you do. Ta'aseh. You have to do as well. You have to become a Nazir. You're going to be the same way. You're right. You can't do chinuch that way. You can't expect a kid to do something when you yourself aren't doing it. So do it yourself. Do it yourself. It's one of my big things with my kids. My kids, because of the school that they're in, they need to have payas. But I don't have payas. So I tell my kids all the time, you tell me. If you want me to cut your payas, I'll cut your payas. Not past here. But if you want me to cut your payas that are behind your ears, right, then I'll go ahead and do it. I'm not going to get in the line of, I have a beard. That's not going to happen. It's a simple idea of, I don't have them, and I don't expect you to have them if you don't want them. If you want them, great. If you don't want them, then I'm not going to force you. I just don't want them to be that awkward kid who I didn't grow them payas, and then they say to me, I want payas, and then they have to have like 2-3 months where they have sort of payas that are sitting behind their ear. I just don't want them to have that awkward stage. I took care of the awkward stage. They ended up having it, but I'm not expecting them to do anything more. It's up to them now. It's completely up to you. The third one is the guy who says, I don't have to be mechanic my daughters. I can go ahead and do I can take care of my sons and my daughters. I can send anywhere. For that we say, I know it's a cute little word, but the idea is Beis Yaakov, according to the Medrash, is referring to the woman. That you can't only say that I'm only going to be machanach my sons. It doesn't work that way. You have to take care of the daughters as well, and that's the bracha from Yaakov as well. So it knocks off the three types of chinuch, which are terrible for kids, and it tells you, here's what you're supposed to do, and thus the pasuk says, you ready? Kol Sivorchu as B'nai Yisrael. That's how you have to bless and give a bracha to B'nai Yisrael, for the children of Israel, to be machanach them in the proper way. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Kli Yakar says, and that the word ko is the chasima of all brachos, meaning the ko is the end of the word brachos, and that's what we said before, bar ko is bracha. That's where it comes from. It's the chasima. It's how all brachos end. This is what Bilam wanted to take away from Klal Yisrael. Bilam said, he siyatsev ko al olasecha. He told Balak, stand here, ko, with your olas, v'anochi ikarek ko, and I will be over there looking at Klal Yisrael. Ko twice in that pasuk. It's not a coincidence. What Bilam was trying to say to Balak is, your korbanos, because remember, Balak brought 42 korbanos. Your korbanos will be able to knock out ko yez derecha. Your ko will knock out that ko of Avraham Avinu, and my ko of looking at Klal Yisrael will be able to knock out the bracha of ko sivorchu. So there won't be any bracha of ko sivorchu. Birchas kohen will be batal, and Bnei Yisrael will no longer be protected. That's what you can do. That's what you're going to be able to do. You know what's so crazy about that? What did he want to do? He wanted to take away the ko of Klal Yisrael. The ko of Klal Yisrael, meaning 25,000 of them. His plan was to kill 25,000 Jews. And when he made a killing of 25,000 Jews, if he would have done so, that would have happened, then he would have made such a pagam in the system, he would have destroyed all of Klal Yisrael. His klolos would have been able to fall in because the bracha got taken out. If he would have been successful to do that 25,000, he would have done it. So how many people did Bilam kill? We know from the end of Parshas Pinchas, what happened at the end? They all sinned at Shittim, they had Baal Peor, and how many people died from Shevet Shimon? 24,000. He came so close to taking away Ko. He tried so hard that Ko should be the one. He tried taking it away and he didn't succeed. He came so close and he wasn't able to get that last one. It went only to 24,000, and that's that. For those who didn't know, there was 24,000. I'm just reminding you that you have a sheet with everything right there in front of you. You can sound smart. It sounds fun. That's that. Next, the Kli Yakar adds on, and the Rabbeinu Bachaya says it as well, there are how many, now this don't look down, how many gifts are given to Kohanim? There are how many Matnos Kahuna? This is going to have to take a guess on. Not two.
24.
Three. Look at that. I didn't have a sheet in front of me. It's chilling in front of me. 24 Matnos Kahuna all together that are given. There's a 25th, and it's Birchas Kohanim, says the Kli Yakar and the Rabbeinu Bachaya. The 25th gift that's given over to the Kohanim is Birchas Kohanim. Why? Because this bracha is all-inclusive, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's given not only to Bnei Yisrael when they're doing the whole Birchas Kohanim. It doesn't only go to Bnei Yisrael. It goes right back to them. It goes right back to them so that it applies back to them. So the bracha that they give goes right right back, almost like a mirror. That's the 25th gift that's given over to them. You should know the bracha is also the other way. You have a recha Hashem Yishmerecha is gashmius and olam hazeh. You should have stuff in this world, whatever you need. Yoer Hashem panav ilachav yichunecha should be ruchnius. You should have ruchnius in the world, in the other world. And then Yisar Hashem panav ilachav isim lachasholam is la'atzid lavo. By the times of Mashiach, we should be given everything we need. All those brachos are taken care of for the Kohanim specifically. Now, let's go into other things about Ko. Ko is, as we said, the gematria of 25. 25 are the amount of letters in Shema Yisrael, meaning Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. You want to do it with me? You can do this. Shema Yisrael, 3 plus 5 is 8. Good. Plus 4, Hashem. 12. Elokeinu at 6. 18. Hashem. 18 plus 4. There we go. Echad plus 3. You can do this. 25. We got it. So it's 25 altogether. There are 25 letters in Shema Yisrael. So there's a sefer that I have. I bought in Eretz Yisrael. It's my favorite sefer in the world. It's written by a person by the name of Aderes. His name is Rav Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Teumim. He's known as the Aderes. Big, big tzaddik. He wrote a sefer on the Baal HaTurim, explaining everything the Baal HaTurim wrote, how the gematrias work out, and all the different things he writes. Tells you what it means. So he says, 25 letters in Shema. That's Kos Tavorchu is Bnei Yisrael. That's what it means by Birchas Kohanim. What does Shema have anything to do with Birchas Kohanim? Says the Teumim. Because we're Miyachid Hashem. We make Hashem Echad when we say Shema. And therefore we're Zoche. When we're Miyachid Hashem, we're Zoche to get the Bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bracha of Vania Borachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming back. If you say Shema twice a day, you're guaranteed not to be bothered by Mazikin. You're guaranteed not to be given over to the hands of your enemies. And that's what we're saying by Birchas Kohanim, the Yasim Lecha Shalom. That's the connection, and that's why it's 25 letters altogether. That's that. Then he says another thing. There are 25 times where it says the word Shalom in the Chumash. So there happens to be 26. Yeah, Darius counts it out. He said, I didn't do this. Okay, I didn't go through the entire Chumash looking for 25. He said there are 26 times it says the word Shalom, but he says we're probably not counting Lo Sidrosh Shlomom. You don't want to go near the Shalom of the other nations. You want to stay away from the because that says you shouldn't. So probably that doesn't count. So there's 25 times it says the word Shalom. There are also 25 times where it says the word Bracha in the Chumash. That also doesn't work out. There's about 108 where it says Bracha in the Chumash. But 25 times in which God is giving a Bracha to Klal Yisrael. Now we're in individual, like where Yaakov is blessing the people, or Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing the people. Don't count those Brachas. Where God is directly blessing Klal Yisrael, there are 25. There are 20 in Bereishis, 2 in Shmos, 1 in Bamid, and 2 in Devarim. That's why we start Birchas Kohanim with Bracha Yivarechecha, and we end with Shalom Yasem Lecha Shalom. Because we go from Bracha to Shalom, 25 times it says the word Bracha, 25 times it says the word Shalom. Therefore we say Kos Tavorchu is Bnei Yisrael. That's the Bracha that you should give to Klal Yisrael. That's the idea behind it. Now the Tanya Menhagim brings down on page 54, and the Pardes Yosef also brings it down, that there was a Kohen by the name of Rabbi Akiva HaKohen, not related to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Eger, or any of the Rabbi Akivas you know. He had altogether 12 sons and 13 daughters. Can you hear with this? Pretty awesome, right? One wife. That's like, that's more than Chanukdeller. I mean, that's like, you don't get much better than that. That's like more than, you know, almost all the Rebbeim that tells. That's 25 kids altogether. All 12 obviously were Kohanim. Out of his 13 daughters, 12 of those daughters married a Kohen. So when he got up for Birkas Kohanim, he would get up with 12 sons on his right, 12 son-in-laws on his left. And he was Mekayim, 12 plus 12 plus 1. I know this is crazy math, guys. But 12 plus 12 plus 1. He had 25 Kohanim at one time. He said, I was Mekayim, Kos Tavorchu is Bnei Yisrael. That 25 of us are being Mevarech Bnei Yisrael. That's what he used to say. What about the 13th daughter? She was like the reject daughter. You know, married a lady. So she married Reb Shapsi Sheftel HaLevi Horowitz. And her grandson was the Shlach HaKadosh. That was her grandson. So she didn't lose out either. She was is also pretty good. She wasn't a Kohen, fine, in Echrami, but regardless, she's still married to Shlach Kadosh. Now, we're going to go into a little bit more esoteric type of stuff. The Panach Raza says he heard that in certain Svarim, the word Ko in the Chumash is written with a Vav in it. Now, it's not in our Chumashim. There's no sefer that I've seen that has it. In the bottom of the Panach Raza, by the Raza de Meir, he says, I've never seen a sefer that has Chav Vav Hey by Ko Svarim, who has been Israel. Nonetheless, he says, I've seen it written that way. Now, Chav Vav Hey, which is spelled out as Ko, can also mean the word Kaveh. Not Kaveh is in hope with a Kuf. Kaveh is in a window. The Chavin Psichan Law, which is written by Daniel, the windows were open for him. In other words, the Aramaic word of Kaveh would be a window. The idea is it's a hint to how the Kohanim should give the bracha. Ko Sivorku means you should do it as a window, and we all know that the windows are these right over here. So when the Kohen puts out his hands, there are five windows. One there, one right behind the two thumbs, one there, and then one right there. So there's five windows for the brachas to come from, and that's where all the brachas stem from, that they come from the windows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The line is, Mitzitz Min HaCharakim, that God peers down through the lattices. If you know what a lattice is, it's these guys. Right over there. Those are little lattices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking through the lattices. I did not know those were going to be there. I was going to try to explain it, but happens to be those are perfect examples of lattices. Either way, but that is a lattice, and that's what it refers to. That's the idea of how the bracha comes through. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachaya, he says that the word ko stands for the Midah HaAsiris. In my limited knowledge, the only thing that I think that refers to is when you get into Spheros, you get into the idea of Malchus, the 10th Sphera, if you count Chokhmah Bina Das, as all of Avatars know, right? That's where Chabad comes from. And then you go into all the others that we just said over all of Sphera. As we go through Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, the 10th one would be Malchus. There's questions about that. I don't know exactly what it is. Malchus stands for absolute greatness and the highest level that a person can be on, while also being the lowest level. It's a strange thing altogether, but that's what Tanya's about. This is the Midah that allows Nevi'im to prophesy. They come down from the Midah of Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they bring down words to tell Klal Yisrael what they need to hear. They're right over there. This is the idea behind Kol Amar Hashem. This is the idea of what it's supposed to be, that the whole idea of the bracha comes forth from the Midah of Chesed that these Kohanim are known for, from the highest level that they can possibly get it at. They bring it down to Klal Yisrael through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a remnant to the last hay of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. That's what the Rabbeinu Bachaya says. Now, though I can't fully explain that, what I can do is somewhat get into it just a little bit and take something from it. Here's what we're going to take from it. It's based on the Chassam Sofer and Rav Wolfson. They both say similar things. I'm just going to pull it all out. The Chassam Sofer says the Shechina is known as Ko. And that's what it means by Malchus, that the kingdom is known as Ko, that's a reference to the Shechina itself. It says, if we're giving a bracha to the Shechina, and therefore the Shechina is giving a bracha back to us. Now, Rav Wolfson explains that in the following way, and it really does make a lot of sense. Why do we make a bracha? Why do we make a bracha on food? Why do we make a bracha after food? What is the point of making a bracha beforehand? What, we're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What kind of Balei Gaiva are we? That we think we have the ability to give a bracha to God. Who are we? We're nobodies. That we should be able to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are we doing? What is the point of that? You want to say that a bracha is a thank you? That makes sense. Thank you, God, for giving me water. Thank you, God, for giving me Coke. That makes a lot of sense, but that's not what we're saying. We're not saying, Hodu Hashem Kito Kilo Onkasto, that he gave me Coke. We're saying, you are blessed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, King of the world, Shakoni Abibaro, that everything comes through your words. What does that mean that we're saying you are blessed? What are we doing? As for Bolson, it's a great question. It's a great question. Who are we to say something, and what is the point of us saying something? So the truth is, he said, it's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Kof. The Gemara in Brachos says, the Malachim asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why do you show favoritism to Bnei Yisrael? Why are you giving them no safe punim? Why are you lifting up your face and showing them favoritism? What does Bnei Yisrael do that you're so happy with them, that you give them favoritism over every other nation in the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back, how can I ask? I told them, V'achalta, V'savata, U'veirachta. You eat, you're satisfied, and then you can make a bracha. That's the only time they have to make a bracha. And what did the Jews do? They eat a kezias, they eat a kebetza, and they still make a bracha. They still make a bracha. Meaning, lahalacha, nidioraisa, you have no need to make a bracha ever, ever, unless you're positive you are going to be full and satiated from the meal that you're about to eat. If you're not positive, and if you're not full at the end of the meal, you never should make a bracha, neither beforehand or afterward. No bracha. The only time we should make a bracha is if you're full, and then you go ahead and you say it. But we're machma on ourselves. Tremendously machma. We make a bracha before every food. We make a bracha after every food, as long as you eat a certain amount, a kizayis or a kibetza. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look at these people. They don't have to do this, but they're doing it anyway. You don't want me to give them something back? Here's the pshat. It's almost like a person is sitting around and he knows. Right? Somebody's sitting around and he says, you know, that guy over there, very wealthy guy, right? I know that I could use a little bit of help monetarily, and I know that if I act nice to him, then eventually maybe he'll help me with something that I need. Shalol Hashem Shemayim, without a question. There's no question about that. But you say, like, listen, that guy's a little bit wealthy. If I do this, maybe he'll be able to help me with that later on. And a person goes ahead and thinks that. So he goes over, helps the person, and eventually gets so stuck in the role of helping the guy, he starts realizing, you know, I like helping this guy. And then when the other guy offers him something back, he's just like, you know what? I don't need it. Don't worry about it. I don't need it. But the other guy is so happy to help the person who's been helping him so long. He says, like, please, just take it. See, this is what it's like to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by rote, almost. We don't even know what we're doing most of the time. You're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one who gives everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one that does everything for us. You pull out the food from the ground. You pull out the food from the trees. You're the one who does this. Right? We have to thank you for all these things and everything like that. See, the brachos are just saying by rote, but eventually it hits us. At some point, you realize what you're saying. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give back to you. You gave to me. You're giving me a bracha. I want to give a bracha back to you. That's what I want to do back for you. I want to give it back. So you say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't even need it. By that time, you're so into it, you're like, at first I thought maybe I'd get something out of making a bracha, but now I don't even need it. I'm perfectly fine as it is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, please take it. And he brings it to us. So here's the idea. We are mashpia to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, so to speak, say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, Hashem. You're blessed, even though we're nobodies and we're nothing and we can't really do anything at all. Like us trying to help the rich guy, what can we possibly do for that rich guy? The rich guy can hire whoever he wants. He can do anything he wants through his money. Is it really helping him so much? But nonetheless, we try our best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks back at us and says, fine, you tried your best. Now I'm going to give back to you. He's going to give it right back at us. See, here's the idea. The word ko means you're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu you believe that he has everything, and you believe that he could give you anything at any time. So saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you a bracha. I'm, so to speak, throwing it at you, and I'm saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did so much for me. Thank you so much. That eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it right back to us. And he brings Shefa. And that way it's a round robin. He brings us more Shefa. We have an opportunity to make more brachos. He brings us more Shefa. We have an opportunity to make more brachos. He brings us more. And it goes on. So meaning, if you stop making brachos, he'll stop giving you shefa. And if he doesn't give you shefa, you won't be able to make a bracha. But if you make the bracha, then he'll give you that shefa and it'll come back. It's a round robin. That's the idea of going over to a person when a person comes over to your house and you say, oh, please, make a bracha in my house. You're not just stop saying, just make a bracha in my house. You're saying, if I give you, and I'm making you make a bracha, I'm giving you something back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us back down here. It's only going to be good. Every time you make a bracha, more stuff comes down to us. So the more brachas the people make, the only thing that could happen is something good. Says Rav Wolfson, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. I'm being mashpia back. How could I not be mashpia back? They're trying to give me. So I'm going to give right back to them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and that's why Klal Yisrael is different. No other nation gives back to me like Klal Yisrael gives to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't. Nobody does it. So therefore, I have to give right back to them. I have to give them more, and I'm going to do more and more and more for them. Therefore, when you make a bracha, you have to remember, you're literally becoming part of the Shekhinah. You're literally getting something back from the Shekhinah directly. You're almost getting something that's that's going to allow you to do more. And that's what Birkas Kohanim is. Birkas Kohanim is to give out more, allow people to get that bracha of Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, to allow them to make more brachos, to allow Shefa to come down even further. And that's the idea of what Birkas Kohanim stands for. So we start off the whole bracha by saying, Ko Amar. Ko Somar L'Bnei Yisrael. Ko Sivorcho is B'nei Yisrael. This is how you should make a proper bracha on B'nei Yisrael. You're thinking of the word and using the word Ko, and now we can answer our final question. The Rabbeinu B'chai in the Kli Yakar says that Birkas Kohanim is the 25th gift given to the Kohanim. What's the gift? Well, now we have an answer. The gift to the Kohanim is that when they do it, they cause more brachos to be in the world by giving others brachos. They cause more brachos to be done for more people to make brachos. Thus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them more bracha because of that. They get more down because of that. That's the 25th gift. 24 gifts are given from Klal Yisrael to the Kohanim. The 25th gift is given by God to the Kohanim. And that's what makes it a different gift. And that's the concept of what Kos Tevorcho was supposed to be. Hopefully we'll be able to get that. Listen, it's not easy to do. But every time you make a bracha, that's what happens. So I'm telling you, don't forget to make a bracha achrona right now. Make that bracha achrona and make sure you say it, because that's how we bring down more Shefa for Klal Yisrael.